This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil khalqi wal mursaleen. Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Continuing with the 10 points for the knowledge seeker. The first was, we said, ikhlas. Second, sacrifice. The third quality is, we've already taken this, but it's just a reminder. Third quality is, the scholar said, to gain knowledge you need three qualities of three different animals. What are they?
A dog.
Okay. What about the dog and the donkey? Good. Good. For the donkey, we said, you need the patience of a donkey. Good. Don't be a donkey, but have the patience of a donkey. Okay, very good. The second quality you need is loyalty of a dog. Excellent. And the third? Excellent. Well done, Shabab. Pecking of a bird. MashaAllah. You know, because donkeys are very patient beasts. You load them up, you smack them, you hit them. Not that I'm condoning that, of course. Rahmukallah. But they take on, they're willing to take on more. That's the point. So they're very patient. Knowledge needs sabr. Knowledge needs patience. Because as we said, it's not the knowledge that's hard, but everything around it that's hard. You're tired, you've got work. The person you might be sitting next to, you don't like them. I'm sure that's not the case here. So you need patience with everything else. It's not the knowledge itself. And as humans, by nature, we're very hasty. Allah said, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ صح؟ خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Mankind was created out of haste. We're very hasty. This is part of human nature. We want things quick. And this is something that even the kuffar say. Fast food, fast cash, fast money, fast workout, fast abs. They even say fast women, wa na'udhu billah. Fast cars, right? So things are fast. People like things fast. So people said, enough fast knowledge. I want to become a scholar overnight. No, it's going to take time. And mushkilatu shabab al-yom. The problem with many of the shabab today is they want things very quickly. They enroll in a course. They want it to become a sheikh or a scholar, want that diploma overnight. It's not going to happen. And a lot of people, when they enroll, they're looking for instant gratification. They're looking for immediate results. And when the lessons become a bit longer and the course prolongs, for example, and a few months in, they start to lose that motivation. So this is where the problem lies. People are looking for this instant gratification. They're looking to find instant results. Not every lesson is going to be a cracker khutbah. Now, every lesson you're going to walk out thinking, Allahu Akbar, I'm ready to take on the world. But sometimes the lessons are dry, especially in fiqh or especially in mustalah, as you know. They're dry and you have to sit there. You have to sit there, subhanAllah. And Ibn al-Qayyim had an amazing statement in his book, Al-Fawaid, The Benefits, where he describes the qualities of a leader and the qualities of those who have high goals. You have high goals, you have high aspirations in life, then listen up. He said, among the many qualities you need, وَشِعَارُكَ sabr. Your shi'ar needs to be patience. What was shi'ar? Shi'ar was a word used to describe the clothing you wear underneath the outer garments. In other words, your underwear. That was shi'ar. He said, وَشِعَارُكَ sabr. Let your underwear, your undergarments, let that be patience. Why would he describe underwear, let that be patience? What's that got to do anything? Because you don't walk out of your house except you wear underwear. You don't walk out of your house except you have underwear on or undergarments. In other words, you have it with you wherever you go. So likewise, have patience with you wherever you go. Whether you're at university or school or out on the road, someone cuts you off, or at home, dealing with the wife or kids. Sometimes they can get on your nerves, yeah? But you need to have patience wherever you go. And also, why did he strike a parable between your undergarments and patience? Because undergarments are the closest objects to your body. It's that which sticks to your skin. So have sabr as the closest quality to your life. That which sticks to you. That you become known for it. That this guy, Allahu Akbar, this guy is not patient. He is patience. You give him the masdar, yeah, for those with the Arabic. When you give someone the masdar, it's like really over the top exaggeration. This guy is patience. Yani, look up the word patience in the dictionary, you see that guy's smiling face right there. So that's why he mentioned, وَشِعَارُكَ sabr, subhanAllah. And if you don't have your underwear on, you feel strange, you feel weird, you feel out of place, huh? So likewise, if you don't have patience, you don't have this quality, you should feel weird. You should feel out of place. You think, you know what? I don't feel right. I lost my cool there. That wasn't right. I feel bad. You should feel upset. SubhanAllah. And for every moment, every minute of anger, you lose 60 seconds of happiness. True? So be patient. Don't get angry. Don't get angry. Be like the Prophet ﷺ. His anger was so expensive, no one could afford it. But his good character was so cheap, anyone can get it free. That's how we should be. Make your anger so expensive that no one can afford it, no one can buy it. No one can tip you over the edge. For wallahi, at times, one moment of anger will make people lose a lifetime of respect they have for you. Well, there's some brothers I know, I've respected them for years on end. One moment of anger, you think, Allahu Akbar, what happened to you, man? I thought I knew you. You can do it. So he said, make sure your shi'ar is patience, your undergarments, literally your underwear is patience. What beautiful words by Ibn al-Qayyim. Two words, but look at the meanings. So have patience. Number two, you need the loyalty of a dog. Because they call a dog a man's best friend. They're extremely loyal. In fact, I saw a picture on Facebook where it had a dog, it dug up a grave of its former owner, its former master, and it just sat there. Extremely loyal beasts. Dogs are really loyal. Ibn al-Qayyim, again in Al-Fawaid, he describes the loyalty of the dog. He said, when you send out your hunting dog, when it catches your food, it wants to eat it. True? It wants to eat the food, the prey that it caught, but it overcomes its own desires, its own shahawat, out of respect for you, the master. Look how loyal it is. It overcomes its own temptations to eat the food. It's got it in its mouth. It wants to gobble it up, but it overcomes it out of loyalty, out of respect for its master, you. So then he went on to say, what about you, Ya Abdullah? Won't you overcome your shahawat, your desires, out of respect for your master, Allah? Allahu Akbar. In other words, if you don't, then the dog's better than you. That's what he's saying. What remarkable words by Ibn al-Qayyim. Again in his book, Al-Fawaid. That's a must buy. You must get this book, Al-Fawaid, The Benefits. Basically, the way he compiled it was anytime he came across a fa'idah, a benefit, a pearl of wisdom, a gem, he'll basically write it down. He came across it, or he thought about it, or he heard it, he'll just write it down. That's how he compiled this masterpiece, Al-Fawaid. It's in English, and alhamdulillah, it's a very good read, even in English. But of course, the Arabic is always the best. And of course, you need the pecking of a bird, bit by bit, bit by bit. You know, that's how a bird eats. It doesn't gobble everything in one go. So you need to gain knowledge over time. Imagine what you've taken in this last year in the diploma course. Imagine we gave that to you in one term. You'd walk out never to return. Too difficult. So you have to go slowly, slowly. There are steps, just like a person who wants a master's degree. Primary school, then high school, then university, college, tertiary studies, bachelor's degree, then the master's. But you find some shabab today, they're taking detailed books in aqidah, they haven't even taken the usul and basic fundamentals of tawheed. They're taking detailed books in aqidah that ulama are having trouble breaking down. The ulama have had difficulty breaking down, yet these brothers haven't even taken anything and they're jumping straight into the deep end. SubhanAllah, there are steps. You know, eating a fruit before it ripens will give you a bitter taste, true? Well, hastening a matter before it ripens will give you a bitter experience. Things take time. Allah could have created the heavens and the earth. Firstly, Allah created the heavens and the earth in how many days? Six. Fi sittati ayyam. He could have done it in 6 minutes. True? He could have done it in 6 seconds. Allah's teaching us something. Allah's teaching us that Allah created this dunya in a way where it's running on gradual steps, process. That things have a process. They have to run their course of action. So that's things. Sometimes people are very hasty. They want to jump into the deep end before even learning how to swim. And that's what Az-Zuhri said. Man rama al-ilma jumla, dhahaba anhu jumla. Whoever seeks knowledge in one go, what would happen? We'll lose it in one go. إِنَّمَا يُطْلَبُ الْعِلْمُ عَلَى مَرِّ الْأَيَامِ وَالْلَيَالِ. Rather, knowledge is sought over the duration of many days and many nights. That's the statement of Al-Imam Az-Zuhri. Those three qualities. That was point number three. Have three qualities of three animals. Point number four. Beware of overeating. Beware of overeating. This is now to do with the etiquette of a student of knowledge. When you eat too much, what happens? It causes a deficiency in memory, in astuteness, alertness, and you become lazy. MashaAllah, true. Among many other things. It affects you. It affects you. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, he actually has a beautiful book called Halyatu Talib al-Ilm, The Etiquette of a Student of Knowledge, and he mentions this, among other things, and he even said the student of knowledge should never discuss two parts of their body, the private parts and their belly. A lot of people have to discuss this with their mates, yeah? Man, you see what I cooked last night, bro? Mate, you know what I'm going to eat later? I'm going to have a monster dish. I'm going to smash it down. And I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Or about their private parts. Or, you know, I'm going to get married to this person, I'm going to do this. No, take it easy, Habibi. The student of knowledge doesn't speak about two matters, the private parts and the belly. Doesn't speak. In other words, they don't speak about their desires. They have adab, they have ihtiram, they have a haiba. They have muru'ah, dignity. A person talks like that, you start to lose respect for them. You know, I thought you were a student of knowledge. Student of knowledge doesn't talk like that. Beware of overeating. And Luqman said to his son, Ya Bunay, if the stomach is filled, three things happen. Number one, wisdom is lost. Number two, your ideas dwindle. Your thoughts vanish, in other words. And number three, your limbs rest from worship. I want to take a break. This is Luqman speaking to his son. He had so much wisdom. He was so noble. Allah, I'll repeat it. He was so noble. Patience, eh? He was so noble that Allah Azza wa Jalla named an entire surah after him, Surah Luqman. So he said, if the stomach is filled up, three things happen. Number one, help me out. Wisdom is lost. Two, ideas dwindle and diminish, they go away. Three, limbs rest from worship. Become tired, in other words. And you'll notice when you have a huge meal, you become tired. Why? Because when you have a large meal, all the blood rushes to the digestive system to try and break it down. And we know blood contains oxygen, hemoglobin. And oxygen, of course, with the lack of it in the brain, you become tired, you start yawning. So that's why when you have a big meal, you start to feel tired. But when you have a small meal, you don't require that much blood to break it down. So when you eat too much, you become tired, and that's going to affect you. That's why the ulama would say, أَكَلْتَ كَثِيرًا, huh? أَكَلْتَ كَثِيرًا, you ate a lot, so what happened? أَكَلْتَ كَثِيرًا, ثُمَّ تَعِبْتَ كَثِيرًا, ثُمَّ نِمْتَ كَثِيرًا, ثُمَّ فَقَدْتَ كَثِيرًا. مَا السَّلَامَ حَبِبِي. You ate a lot, so you became tired a lot, so you slept a lot, so you lost a lot. End of story. You lost a lot, why? Because you ate too much. Allahu Akbar. So yes, even food is part of our deen. Yahya ibn Ma'in was once joking with Al-Imam Ahmad. He said, man, I'm so hungry, bro. He said, if shaitan gave me something to eat right now, I would have eaten it. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he forsook him, he abandoned him for weeks because of that statement. He goes, I was only joking, take it easy. He goes, atastahzi' bid-deen? Do you mock the deen? He goes, food is part of the deen. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned it in the Quran. He mentioned it in the Quran about eating the tayyibat. صح? وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. He actually put that first. Allahu Akbar. So as you can see, food is part of the deen. But today, food is not just glorified, it's over-glorified that they've even made shows, programs and TV channels out of it. Wallahi, MasterChef, My Kitchen Rules, Cut Through a Kitchen. Yeah? Allahu Akbar. When I said this, one of the sisters, yeah, Channel 33. Right? They memorized it. Wallahi, they've over-glorified food so much. They're just obsessed with food, obsessed with their stomachs. SubhanAllah, you find on those channels, you find, you know, a person is standing in front of the judges, their eyes downcast, they're trembling, heart palpitations, nervous, what's going on? What happened? The verdict is passed? The chicken was overcooked. Allahu Akbar, it's like it's Yawm al-Qiyamah. Their reaction, they're waiting, it's like they're standing to be judged on Judgment Day. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. So be aware, the student of knowledge doesn't eat too much. He eats, of course. You need to eat to survive. You need to eat to live, but don't live to eat. The scholars would say, and this is the final point about overeating. The scholars would say, overindulgence in food can actually be the cause of your destruction and demise. Think, man, that's heavy. Where did they get this from? The story of who? Adam and Hawa. Ahsant. Adam and Hawa, they were kicked out of Jannah. Why? Because of indulgence. Because of their stomachs. Because of food. They ate from the tree. So they said that food can actually cause your destruction. SubhanAllah. One of the Salaf was asked, define Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. He said, to know what goes in your stomach, whether it's halal or haram. The man was shocked. He said, why did you define Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah with this about food? He said, because if you are so concerned about what goes into your stomach from halal and haram, you'd be even more concerned of what goes into your heart and mind from halal and haram, of aqidah, of iman, of thoughts. That's Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That's how important the Salaf placed this importance on food. Allahu Akbar. In fact, we gave a lecture on this. It was called MasterChef to the sisters. And alhamdulillah, they enjoyed it. So those are some of the points we mentioned in that talk. But just to show you, yes, this is how comprehensive this deen is. It even discusses food. Point number five, advice for the student of knowledge. This is now to do with the lesson itself. Read on the lesson prior the lesson. In other words, read, let's just say we're taking Hadith 11, which we are next week. Read up on Hadith 11 before you actually come to class. So read before the lesson. When you read the content of a lesson before the lesson, it mentally prepares you. You come and you're mentally prepared. You know what's going on. And if you do listen to something in class that you already read or know, then it's revision for you. That's actually one of the points that's coming up next. So it prepares you. Just like when a person is playing sport, exercise, what do? They warm up. Why? So they don't injure their body. Well, warm up mentally before you come to class so you don't have a mental breakdown. You think, man, that was heavy, bro. That was too deep. I'm not coming back to class. It was just too much. Wallahi, we've seen this. Some brothers, after one Mustalah al-Hadith class, they said, man, I'm going to give up. It's too much. It happens. So when you read up beforehand, it prepares you. That's point number five. Point number six. So that was before the lesson. Now, during the lesson, what should you do? Write during the lesson. And of course, that applies to before and after as well. But in particular, during. Why? Because when you write, what have you done to that knowledge? Preserved it. You've retained it. This is actually a prophetic command. The Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, قَيِّدُوا الْعِلْمِ قَيِّدَ يُقَيِّدُوا in Arabic means to trap, to restrain something. He said, قَيِّدُوا الْعِلْمِ retain knowledge, trap it. They said, كَيْفَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ how are we going to retain knowledge? He said, بِالْكِتَابَةِ by writing it down. Because when you write it, it stays there. It doesn't go anywhere. If you're just going to sit there and solely rely on your memory, well, what happens over time? The memory weakens and forgetfulness is frequent. The memory will weaken and forgetfulness is frequent. This is what is mentioned in Halyatul Talib al-Ilm by Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd. Another amazing book. It's called The Etiquette of a Student of Knowledge. It's quite thin, actually. You can probably read it over a weekend if you wanted to. A very good book. You should buy this as well. You can even download it for free on Kalamullah and these types of sites. Halyatu Talib al-Ilm in Arabic by Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd. The etiquette, it's translated as etiquette, but really halya is more jewels, gems. The etiquette of seeking knowledge by Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd. This book I had to read twice. That's how much I loved it. The etiquette of a seeker of knowledge. This is, you have to read this book. I'm just giving you 10 points. This gives you so much more. In English, yeah. In English and Arabic, of course. So right during the lesson, the scholars would say, you should write. And if you don't have anything to write on your shoes. Think, how does that work? Because back then, especially, they had shoes made out of wood and leather. Just like today, you have shoes made out of leather. But back then, especially wood. Even when I went to Egypt, I saw sandals made out of wood. That was it. Just one wooden plank and just like a strap on top. So if you walk in them, you're like this. Yeah. Wallahi, I saw it. I had to take a photo of it. I still got it. I wasn't a selfie, but I had to take a photo of it. So yeah, back then you could write easily on that stuff. And as you know today, there's leather and you can write on them. And if they're Nikes and they're white, you can easily write on them, yeah? But I doubt anyone would do that. Exactly. He almost had a heart attack when I said that.
I don't own Nikes, but anyway.
Alhamdulillah. They said if you can't write on your shoes, then write on a wall. This is again in Halyatul Talib al-Ilm. Just make sure it's your wall. Okay? And this is what Ibn Taymiyyah did. Ibn Taymiyyah would write on the walls of his prison cell. And among the many things he wrote was a letter to his mum. He said, if I had wings to fly to you, I would have. But I'm retained, I'm imprisoned here, subhanAllah. And where did he die? In prison. Rahmatullah alayhi. And that's when they went to take his body. They found all this stuff on the wall. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. So writing is one of the best ways to retain knowledge. And you'll notice in a few years' time, you look back on your notes and you think, Allahu Akbar, I forgot this. Have you ever had that? You look back on your notes? Try it. Just look back on last year's notes. Now, after you write, constantly revise it. That's the next point. Point seven. Revision is the mother of memory. It's the mother. Revision. Revise your notes. So what you can do, make it a promise to yourself. Make it a promise, an obligation on yourself. After every lesson, I'm going to go home and just read it. Even if it's just a quick skim over the notes. With your coffee and cake, no problem. Sit there and just read it. Sit on the balcony, sit at the front. Make it interesting so it motivates you. Maybe even do it with your kids if you have. Do it with your wife if you have one. Do it with someone, and that's very important. Because when you revise, you will memorize it. It consolidates it. And that's why you've noticed, tabarakallah, a lot of the mashayikh, when they're quoting ayat, ahadith, bang, bang, bang. They're just, you know, like they're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Why? You think, Allahu Akbar, it's like he just looked over it 5 minutes ago. No, he's constantly revising it. Or constantly teaching it. And that's the next point. Teaching. That's how you also memorize, teaching. But before we get onto that, let's finish one more point about revision. The Salaf would say about revision, لَأَنْ أُرَاجِعَ كِتَابًا ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيِّ أَنْ أَقْرَأَ ثَلَاثَةَ كُتُبٍ. For me to revise one book 3 times, it's better than reading 3 different books. You may sit there thinking, but reading 3 different books is far more better, a lot of knowledge. They said, no, to revise the same book 3 times is far more effective. Because you read a book once, you might retain 50%. You read it a second, what's going to happen? You retain more, yes? You might retain 70. Third time, 90. The more you read, the more you consolidate that knowledge. The more it stays with you. Reading 3 different books, you may not take hardly anything from each book. In fact, it may even confuse you. That's what the Salaf said about revision. And the next point, as we said, point number 8. If writing knowledge and revising it is not going to help you memorize, 100% teaching will, 100%. The scholars would say about teaching, إِنْ عَلَّمْتَ كَأَنَّكَ تَعَلَّمْتَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. When you teach, it's as if you learned it a second time. Wallahi, it forces you to memorize the adillah. You're going to teach this, you revise it, you get the notes, and you look at it, and then you teach it. And you teach it a third time, fourth time, it stays with you. And ask the teachers here, the teachers who teach the shabab and the young kids, doesn't it help you memorize? Helps you memorize, huh? They're looking around. They know who it is. But it helps you memorize. And that's why Al-Shaykh Al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Al-Allama Al-Faqih, in his time, as we know, Al-Imam Al-Dhuhali, he was a scholar in his own right. Yeah, he knew the scholarship of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. One day he went to a janazah prayer. This is Al-Imam Al-Dhuhali. He went to a janazah prayer, funeral prayer. And he sees Al-Imam Al-Bukhari there. So what does he do? He couldn't help but go over to him and asking about the narrations and the ilal, the hidden defects of the ahadith. Subhanallah. He couldn't help himself. It's a janazah prayer. Rahmatullahi alayhi. What about this hadith? Is it authentic? He couldn't help it. He said, when I was asking him these questions, ilal, the ilm of ilal, hidden defects, is extremely difficult, as the brothers know who did Musalah al-Hadith. And only a few mastered and wrote about. He said he went through the ilal of the ahadith like he was reciting Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Brrr, just went through them. Allahu Akbar. No doubt he had a gift from Allah. But it was because he would revise and teach. So he just went through them like he's reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. And Imam Al-Dhuhali, just you can imagine the look on his face. Yeah? That's why he took advantage even at the funeral prayer. You can imagine. And if there was a funeral prayer and Imam Al-Bukhari was there, wouldn't you go and ask him? Of course. SubhanAllah. So he became jealous really quick after that. Imam Al-Dhuhali. SubhanAllah. There's one more point I was going to mention about teaching. Maybe it'll come to me. Khair, inshallah. Number 9. Next point. Next piece of advice for the knowledge seeker is humbleness. This is extremely important. Humbleness. At-tawadu. Knowledge of Allah, once it enters the heart, it should soften the heart, not harden it. You find a lot of brothers, unfortunately, not so much as sisters, but a lot of the brothers, when they start learning knowledge, but inshallah, no one here, all we know of you brothers, alhamdulillah, is goodness. Brothers, they start learning, and because they start learning, they want to put other people down. I know the mas'ala, you don't. Knowledge isn't just about slapping brothers with fatawa and making takfir and tabdi' and tafsiq. But rather, it should humble you. Yes, takfir and tabdi' and tafsiq is part of the deen. It's part of علم الرجال, علم الجرح والتعديل. It's part of the deen. But it's done with usul, it's done with principles. Like takfir has, you need to first to do takfir. Takfir is you need firstly to fulfill the conditions, الشروط, and then remove the obstacles, المواني. Then, after a person knows these, the conditions and the موانئ, the obstacles, then a person may do it, and even after that, still it's not enough. And it's done left for the scholars and the people of knowledge. So humbleness is extremely important. Because perhaps Allah Azza wa Jalla may forgive their ignorance, but not your arrogance. And that's worse. Brother is arrogant, he thinks he knows it all, Allahu Akbar. So this is extremely important. The scholar said, the one who gains knowledge should be humble, and they gave the parable of the fruit-bearing branch. You know, a branch as it bears fruit, what happens to it? It lowers, yeah, due to the weight of the fruit. So as you are gaining, not in weight, you're gaining in knowledge, you should also lower yourself due to the weight of knowledge. So when you do that, that's when, just as this tree is bearing fruit, you will gain the fruits of ilm, and that is humbleness. And the parable of the arrogant one is like smoke. Smoke. It puffs itself up. In reality, it's weightless. It's got no value. Have you ever seen people when they see smoke, smoke, in their pocket? No. It's got no value. It's got no value. So likewise, the person who's puffing themselves up, they looks like they're all that, all show, no go. They're weightless. And what happens to smoke after a while? Disappears. You don't, khalas, they vanish. Like these people, like al-Dhuhri and others, the haters. See what happened to them? No one knows about them. And the only reason we know about them is via the people that were hating. Look at the irony. So when people are hating on you, they're jealous, they're arrogant, don't worry. Haters are going to hate. The lion doesn't lose sleep over the opinion of sheep. You be a lion, my brother. Don't worry about these people. So this is how a person should be. Be humble. Be humble. And don't think it's lowering my status. No, no, no. Because the humble one is like the reflection of the stars on water. You know, at night, you see on the surface of the water the reflection of the stars. You look at the surface of the water, you look down, you see the reflection of the stars, but they're not there. Where are they in reality? The stars are high in the sky. Likewise, the humble one. He seems lowly. Look at him. But in reality, where is he? He's high with Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's the humble one. They're like the reflection of stars on water. They seem low, in reality they're high. And finally, the final point I wanted to share with you, and finally, the last point, last piece of advice I wanted to share with you for the sake of knowledge, and that is to thank Allah for this knowledge after you have been granted it. Thank Allah. You want more knowledge after you've gained some? Thank Allah, He will increase you. Allah says in Surah Ibrahim, Ayah 7, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you give thanks, thanks for what? Allah didn't even mention it. Thank Allah for any blessing. Any blessing, whether it's blessing of knowledge, health, wealth, family. If you do that, la, not even azidannakum, la azidannakum. The lamb for tawqid and azidannakum, that noon of tawqid. Double promise, double guarantee from Allah. Allah could have said, sa'azidukum. That would have been enough. I'm going to increase you. Because Allah is the most truthful in speech. That would have been sufficient. But Allah gave you a double promise. You're doubting? Allah surely, 100%, is going to increase you in that. And when you're blessed with something, you want more of it. And you want barakah in it. Just thank Allah for it. Thank Allah for giving you knowledge, or giving you a blessing, or giving you health, or giving you any blessing. Thank Allah, He will surely increase you. SubhanAllah. And increase you in what? Allah said, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. It's nakira, it's not mentioned. And nakira tafid al-umum. The nakira is wide in scope. Allah will increase you in so many things. In so many things. So you may thank Allah for this blessing, but because of that, Allah will bless you in so many other things. Allahu Akbar. Like Nuh alayhi salam, what did he tell his people? رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَارًا. What would Allah Azza wa Jal do for you? If you, he said, ask Allah for forgiveness. Firstly, He will send upon you rain. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Also, He will also give you an increase in wealth and baneen. And wealth here, amwal, isn't money. Wealth isn't money. That's nuqood in Arabic. Nuqood is money. He said amwal. Firstly, it's plural. Mal is wealth. Wealth Here, what is wealth by definition in Arabic? Mal is kullu ma yaktasibuhu li-insan wa yamlikuh. Everything that a person obtains and owns, and that is called mal. So you could possess land, real estate, cars, money, so many things, houses, yeah? That's all under mal. He didn't even say mal, he said amwal in plural. Look what Allah will give you if you just what do you do? Astaghfiru rabbakum. That's it. Just make istighfar. Just istighfar. Look at the generosity of Allah. So here, likewise, Allah just said, thank me and I'll increase you. Increase me in what, Allah? Everything. Everything. Because Ibn al-Qayyim said, Allah loves to give more than you love to receive. Who doesn't love receiving? Now, when the brothers get me gifts, even if it's a V, Jazakallah khairan akhi Hasan, right? We all love to receive. Allah loves to give more than we love to receive. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us among those who are truly thankful. Amen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.